Welcome to Soroka Speaks, coaching minds and elevating careers. We're so happy to have you here. We hope that you enjoy this episode and that it supports you to put your potential in motion. Welcome back, everybody. This is your co-host, Emily Haruko Leave, and I'm here with my lovely co-host.
It's Claire. That's how I'm going to introduce myself now. It's Claire.
I love it. It's Claire. Here we go. All right. Well, welcome, everyone. This is Soroka Speaks, Coaching Minds, Elevating Careers. Today, our topic is growth mindset. So we thought as we approach this, the completion of another calendar year, that, you know, we do some really cliche conversations around what it means to set some goals for the new year, what it takes to fulfill on those goals. We believe that's a growth mindset. What is a growth mindset? And we'll see what else we get into in today's episode. But as we were noodling on this, we wanted to introduce the concept of growth mindset. So if that's not a term that you're familiar with, it was coined by a woman named Carol Dweck, PhD. She wrote a book called Mindset, The New Psychology of Success that came out probably around 15, 20 years ago. Around 15 years ago, give or take. And she wanted to essentially understand how people coped with failure. So for 5 years, she studied people failing. She looked at sports. She looked at all kinds of different areas, the medical, the healthcare industry. And she did control groups where she gave people puzzles that they were not able to solve. Hence, you know, studying how one copes with failure. And what she realized was that there were two mindsets that essentially, there were two mindsets that emerged from her research. And one was that people that were sort of adaptable or dealt with failure, setbacks and mistakes in a more optimal way, she considered that they had a growth mindset. And those that did not adapt to their failures, mistakes or setbacks very well, she considered had a fixed mindset. And Claire's going to tell us about what the difference is between the two.
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to, obviously in coaching, focus on a growth mindset. This is thinking from a we and not I perspective. This is thinking about possibilities, about what can be achieved. This is, you know, having setbacks or failures and still able to move forward through those. Whereas the fixed mindset is an I and not we. It's just all about you. It's not about the team. It's not about the people or your friends or your family. It's really, you know, it is that, it's almost like a defeatist attitude is the in this most simplest way talking about it. It's just like, well, it's never going to happen. So why should I try? It's something bad always happens to me. So why would I even bother? You know, it's just my luck. There's all these sayings that come out when we think about the fixed mindset. I always say it's like an oh, woe is me. Do you say that in Canada? Oh, woe is me.
Actually, yeah, woe is me. For yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But I think we have like a victim mentality, and that is that sort of victim mentality, the inability to take responsibility for the consequences of your choices or actions, or really even the inability to just deal with the circumstances that life presents itself, you know, and that you approach it from that very woe is me or that fixed place, black and white, good or bad, right or wrong, talented or not, accepted or rejected, all that very finite thinking.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, this episode is really apt for us because we are moving into the new year. And I actually always hate setting new year goals because I feel like goals can be set and should be set throughout the entire year. And so many people go into new year with the greatest intentions, right? I'm going to get fit and healthy. I'm going to join the gym. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to get a new job. And more often than not, we're not aligned with actually the goals that we set. Or we set them in a way that it's not, we're not able to
kind of manage them and work towards those goals. We set them way out of reach, right? I want to lose 14 pounds by the end of January, and you get to the end of January and you've lost one. And it's like, well, what's the point? Like, what's the point? I'm just going to go to Macca's and eat a burger. Like, I'm not going to ever lose this weight. So it's really like, you know, falling back into that fitness mindset, whereas we know to lose 14 pounds can take months, if not years, to lose that amount of weight. And that's the growth mindset, is keep going no matter what. And I like to use that one because, you know, I like to get in the gym and I think about it.
No, I love that. I was thinking about all of our sisters that are perimenopausal and what, you know, all joking aside, how much of a reality that actually is for some. But anyways, perimenopausal aside, you know, you're talking about something that I think is important to highlight than like the cliche kind of, you know, New Year's resolutions and why the gym is packed the first week of the year and then it tails off after that. And it's to do with, I believe, two things that you mentioned that I'll just name. One is the circumstantial drift. So we teach this in our programs at Soroka. And the circumstantial drift is that you're all gung-ho, you're in touch with a possibility, you know, you have an idea or something you want to bring to fruition. You have endeavored to kind of, you know, demonstrate your commitment around it. And maybe you come out of the gate hot and then life happens. And due to the circumstances in your life, you tend to then drift away from whatever that commitment was that you established. And if you want to drill into that a little bit deeper, then you can get into the nuance of from which place are you making your choices? Are you making your choices from how you feel in the moment, your mood, or are you making your choices based on what you are committed to? And a commitment is the thing that you follow through with long after the mood that you set the commitment in has fleeted. So it's the circumstantial drift, right? And then there's another thing that I want to point out is this idea or this opportunity for responsibility that we have around not only what are we doing, but also who we are being. So if you want to do something you've never done before, you want to lose that 14 pounds Claire was talking about, or you want to, you know, scale your business or, you know, whatever it is, there are certain things you're going to need to do that. The action items, you know, the tangibles, the milestones within which, you know, you're physically moving the task forward. But what a lot of people don't address is who you're being while you do those things. So your being is your characteristics, your qualities, your vibe, your energy, all of the intangibles, the essence. So if you go into a New Year's resolution or a new goal and you are only doing one of the two, the being versus doing, it will not be sustainable. So you have to, in order to create a sustainable, you know, goal, bringing a goal actually to fruition, is addressing not only what you are doing, but also who you are being while you do it. If you just show up at the gym, but your mindset is, you know, I'm not really, this isn't going to make a difference. You know, I'm never going to create any impact. I'm never going to, that, if that's the consistent way of being behind your commitment to your workouts will the circumstantial drift will get you and there will be no following through with that. So I think it's important that when we talk about, you know, growth mindset and bringing goals through to fruition, we need to be responsible for the circumstantial drift and what we are doing and who we are being while we do it.
Yeah, I love that, actually, that example. And I think it is, you know, when we're working on, you know, we use the gym because everyone says that at New Year, but so many people, it's the number one, I would imagine. And then moving house and changing job, right? I think they're probably the top three that people would set. But I think we really do, you know, what you mentioned about being aligned with that. And really, it is in that mindset, isn't it? Of, all right, I've got my butt to the gym and then still being there thinking, but what's the point? This isn't, you know, you're not aligned with that. I think you know, we can replicate that in business as well. And we can think about, where do we want to take our business? Where do we want to, how do we get that promotion? So whether you're from an entrepreneur mindset or from an employee, manager, leader, You really have to be aligned. Like, why am I doing this? Why am I working on this to-do list? Why am I working on this project? Does this project actually make sense to the business? You know, if you're the entrepreneur and you're trying to do something new, make sure it actually makes sense and you understand why you're investing time and money and energy and really get aligned with that. If it's not making sense, why, honestly, why are you doing it? I think there's ways we can all overcome. I don't want to say that overcome the fixed mindset. We can, but what I'm saying, my intention is there's things that we cannot do within our skill set, right? So it's also thinking about that in looking at from a fixed mindset is I'm never going to be able to do that. But the growth mindset is I don't know how to code a website. I do not know how to build this code. However, I know what I need to happen. Let me find somebody that can code for me and make this happen. So it's putting that really clear plan together and still having the growth mindset, still having that entrepreneur brain, but finding where your skill set lies. Where are you going to excel and where are you going to be able to push your business forward versus the skill set you don't have, but you can find somebody to bring along for the ride and plug those gaps where you need them.
I love what you're saying, Claire, because what I'm hearing about, you know, what you're suggesting with the growth mindset is the essence of it is really the ability to celebrate effort, mm-hmm. right? So the growth mindset is not necessarily always about the result, but it's about celebrating the effort. And one of the other things you mentioned is like the ability to be resourceful, right? It's like, it literally is a can-do attitude, right? And we teach a lot of distinctions around what is transformational leadership. And transformational leadership is about standing in possibilities, standing for what's possible, right? And in order to bring what's possible to fruition, we have to be growth-oriented. We have to be able to undertake those setbacks, challenges, and mistakes that are going to propel us forward. So celebrating that effort and being resourceful. And I thought that we could share maybe one specific example that, you know, I like to use a lot around like someone in history that has demonstrated a growth mindset. And that's the man that ran the first 4-minute mile, Roger Bannister. And the reason that I love this example is because at that time, the scientists of the time were telling Roger Bannister and his team that it is physically impossible for the human body to run a 4-minute mile. Like that was the feedback that the most intelligent minds in the world were feeding this athlete. And Roger Bannister was kind of like, no, screw that. Like you could obviously tell that, you know, in hindsight that he really believed in himself. Like he knew that this was possible, right? Like, and did what was needed to be able to get himself there. And so lo and behold, you know, Roger Bannister runs the first 4-minute mile. And what I love about when people deploy a growth mindset is that it really is contagious. Because in the subsequent months that Roger Bannister ran a 4-minute mile, 3 other people ran a 4-minute mile. And to date, over 1,700 people have also ran a 4-minute mile. And so, you know, somebody was bound to do it. Roger Bannister gets the credit for, you know, coming to the finish line first, so to speak. But a true example of what a growth mindset is and needed, even in the face of people telling you that, no, you cannot.
Mm. Yeah, I actually love that example as well. And I think I use that a lot. That mentality of watch me do it anyway. So when people tell me stuff's not possible or, you know, why should you be doing that? Why do you anything like any negativity that tells me that I shouldn't or that I can't? I'm like, watch me, watch me do it. Watch me achieve that.
I think there are 2 types of people in the world because I think like there are those people like you and then there are people like me and where like that gives them my inner critic, like, yeah, oh my God, what if they're right? Or like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this. Or, you know, maybe they're right. And I suppose I don't buy into it per se, but I'm not sure that I get to the point of using it as fuel as much as you do. And I really love that. I would love to be able to get to that.
Thank you.
To get to that point where it's like, yeah, well, watch.
Yeah. It's not being afraid to fail. I think. So I don't, you know, I have failed at things and there's things that I'm not great at, but I will try my hardest and I will always give it a go. And particularly if people tell me that I shouldn't, not, you know, within reason, I'm not saying that I'm a crazy person, but I'm, you know, when I want to achieve something and I want to do something new and I want to try something or push myself out of my comfort zone, that is like the fuel that keeps, that propels me. If I fail and I suck at it, then I suck at it, but at least I tried and I would know I'm no good at that, or I can try and be better at that. It didn't go well the first time, let me try again, you know.
No, and that's the mindset, is that cultivation, right? Celebrating effort, cultivation, being resourceful.
Yeah,
those are all what mindset in action looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things that's important to touch on as well is growth mindset for ourselves, but also we should highlight in, within business. And I touched on it a little bit as well about the entrepreneurship, but also as a leader, right, is looking at your team around you and thinking about their mindset and their, whether they come in from a fixed or a growth mindset. And it's sometimes it's quite plain to see.
What I wanted to share was what growth mindset in action looks like as a leader, you know, or as it really just as an individual, especially in a professional capacity. So when we look at growth mindset in action, we want to make sure we're championing effort, learning and development, that we're repositioning how we think about failure in cultivating organizational cultures that are prone to a growth mindset. This means that we'll be providing feedback in private and doing acknowledgements and recognition in public. Acknowledgements and recognition are also okay in private, but we're never calling anybody out or making an example of somebody where there's an opportunity for corrective action, never doing that in front of other people. That will breed toxicity in your culture. Stretching beyond your comfort zone, you know, growth is not always comfortable or convenient. So consider what it means to engage in your growth from that perspective. Creating cultures of feedback, supporting people to ask the stupid question. I think this is really growth mindset oriented because, you know, without clarity, we can't bring, without knowing what success looks like, we can't bring a project through to fruition. With the standards that might be required of us if we're unclear of what those standards are or what success looks like. So asking clarifying questions, giving permission for people to do so, and creating a culture where that's okay is a growth mindset oriented culture. And the individual responsibility for all of us to assess personally, am I in a growth mindset right now? Am I being fixed about anything? Where do I need to potentially reframe my perspective on something? And finally, a growth mindset oriented culture or ability demonstrates empathy. So again, it's celebrating that effort that one puts in and knowing that if you really did the very best that you could with the resources that you had, that is enough. And maybe it wasn't enough to get the job done. If it was, great. But if it isn't, then we cultivate, we resource, we go back to the drawing board and we look and see where what we need to, you know, correct or change in order to bring something through to fruition. That's my little snippet of growth mindset in action in the workplace.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was great to give that sort of summary so that there can be just some reflection of how everyone is showing up. You know, how do you show up to your day? How do you show up to the workplace?
Yeah, some reflection of how everyone is showing up. All right. Well, thank you for joining us today. I think that pretty much sums up our little snippet into growth mindset. Of course, if you want any other information or resources, you can reach out to us anytime and or check out Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success. And we wish you well on your journey into 2025 and maintaining a growth mindset and cultivating and creating the future of your dreams.
Thank you for now.
See you next time.